Sylvia Fee's brother, Gerald Chenery, was killed in December of 2004. He was shot 13 times by junior officers in the Vancouver Police Department. As with all deaths at the hands of the police in BC, it was the police themselves who investigated Gerald's shooting. After his death, his sister Sylvia followed the system looking for answers. Sylvia's experiences left her disappointed and unsatisfied. In the end, there were never any criminal or disciplinary charges laid against any of the officers involved in Gerald's death. Sylvia spoke about Gerald and her experiences at a death in custody forum back in September of 2007. The event was held in Vancouver and was organized by the BC Civil Liberties Association.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Fee. Gerald Chenery is my brother. I want to thank you for asking me to be here to represent my family and in the process that we went through dealing with Gerald's death. Excuse me, because this is really close to my heart, and I've got a whole bunch of stuff written down, so I hope I don't get too scattered here. My brother, Gerald Samuel Lincoln, was born August 24th, 1975, to Johnny and Judith Lincoln in Prince Rupert, BC. The fourth last in a large family of 16 children. As a child, Gerald was a really lively boy who had a heart of gold and a humor that could light up the tiniest face. He was a strong, athletic boy with a great desire to please others with laughter. Gerald always loved to make his sisters happy, and during his short time with his parents, Gerald was exposed to many abuses. And yet, in the midst of the turmoil that was Gerald's childhood, he possessed an enormous ability to love his family. These troubled times deeply affected Gerald. And despite the fact that he was only a child, he did the best he could to protect his siblings. In the early 80s, the drinking and abuse in his family was so common that middle-of-the-night apprehensions were the norm, as did the separation of Gerald from his siblings. The Ministry of Children and Families assumed that it was important to separate Gerald from his siblings. He was placed in different foster homes than the rest of us. This was a long and extremely lonely journey for Gerald. In foster homes and various institutions, Gerald always longed to be with his family, always knowing that we were out there, hoping in his heart that we would all be together again. With each contact over the years, it was confirmed that the hopes and dreams that were held of Gerald were common to all of the siblings in our family. On the night of December 26, 2004, Constable Elizabeth Clark, Constable Smith, and Sergeant Bertolo of the Vancouver Police Department shattered this dream. The junior police officers Clark and Smith, with less than 6 weeks combined experience, were said to have shot Gerald 13 times, claiming that he held two steak knives in his hands while attacking a female rookie officer. When I was writing this speech, that's as far as I got. I found out that Gerald was killed from a message through my friend. But before I got this message, I read in the newspaper that two rookie officers had shot and killed a man, a Native man, in Chinatown in Vancouver. So I had read this article in the paper before I knew that it was my brother And the message was that there was a conflict with the police and my brother didn't make it. And so for months and months, we didn't hear anything. We didn't know what was going on, except that the coroner's inquest had kept getting put off and put off. And so it was really difficult to be a part of the whole situation when we didn't know what was going on. But thanks to my sister Teresa and her work with David Eby from Pivot Legal Services, we were able to attend the inquest and witness just how the current system works and how much the police force will go to any lengths to fabricate the story to their advantage. And that advantage being that they can write the story the way it happened. They can write it to their own truth, regardless of what the public's understanding of truth is. And the truth, as I would understand it, would be that it's the same in all persuasions, that somebody listening from my position would say, okay, I believe that sounds plausible, that somebody in a lawyer's position could say, okay, but that's not the way it happens. All the experts, the forensics experts, the ballistics experts, the blood spatter experts, everybody is put in their position. They follow a script. Somebody has already said at a certain time that things happen this way no matter what. And if you can't answer it, then it's beyond your expertise. It's beyond your educated experience, that other than that, there is no answer for it, and that's not good enough. There was no sense of acknowledgement of harm done by any of the people involved. As far as I was concerned, listening to the evidence in the inquest, everybody was shifting the blame to somewhere else. When it comes to the recommendations, they spend their time on the trivial parts, not trivial, I can't play down the impact of certain events leading up to my brother's death, but that the time that they spend on deciding, well, because Gerald got released from jail the day before Christmas, that now their recommendation is that they should have a 2-week period prior to a statutory holiday for release. Now, that's understandable, but like they were saying earlier, the big issues here is that the people investigating police killings are able to fabricate a story. They're able to pass these people through all of these legal processes and say, you're okay, you can go back to work. Maybe take a little bit of a break, go back to work, go do a little bit of counseling, and we'll transfer you somewhere else. Yet they get to take their badges, shine them up, and go somewhere else with their hands on their hips, over their guns, ready to shoot to kill somebody else before they ask questions, before they can reasonably deal with a person. These officers are trained to shoot. They're trained to justify their actions by the little bit of training that they do have. And once they are finished their training, they go right out there and they're allowed to use their guns. And I personally think throughout the inquest process that other people involved in the case were able to slide through the system without any repercussions, without any questions, because of the techniques that the police use for investigating. There was one specific sergeant who was involved, and his name was Sergeant Butolo. He was said to have been on scene at the time of the shooting, and he was a seasoned officer of 16 years, and his expertise led him to duck when the shooting was going on. He got there in enough time to witness my brother running down the alley, turn 20 feet, turn around and come back, run around the cop car and charge at the female officer. Yet in all that time that he witnessed that, he had only enough time to duck in his car twice, which from his testimony led me to believe that there's something missing in this story. There's something missing that none of us are hearing, because they got to change the way the story, the way the events happened. And it's really disappointing to think that the society we live in is not there to support the public interest. They say they are, but when it comes right down to it, it seems to me that the public interest is not as important as the authority. It's more important for them to keep their reputations and their jobs than to tell the truth and deal with the consequences. My brother was a good man. He was a loyal man. He had a lot of problems. He went to jail for some of those problems he had. But the bottom line in my brother's case was that he was a loving man, and he was very loyal to those he cared about. There was no sense of responsibility on the part of the whole system, because none of the officers involved are getting charged for this. We dealt in the inquest with the excessive use of force, and these junior officers were said to have used the best means possible to deal with the situation in which they were afraid for their lives. They made contact 13 times, 13 bullets connected with his body, his wrists, his chest, his abdomen, his legs. He died because of the loss of blood from the wounds to his back. It's really overwhelming, the amount of disappointment that we felt afterwards, because there, you know, from here, where do we go? The law is supposed to be there to protect us, yet so many people are dying like this. And in every case, the police officers, they just walk away. They leave an emptiness. They leave so many damaged families, shattered because they supposedly did the right thing. I don't see how it's just. I don't see how it's right to continue on with life and let them continue to do this to somebody else.
That was Sylvia Fee. Sylvia's brother, Gerald Chenery, was killed by the Vancouver police in December of 2004. She was speaking as part of a forum looking at deaths in custody back in 2007.